Well, it's a joy to be here, man. I have really enjoyed this. I think I enjoyed watching the little kids shoot about as much as anything. That was just such a blessing. And I mentioned last night about having accountability and having a checklist. The little boy called the doctor, checking up on himself. You know what I talked about? Well, today I want to talk to you about this idea of daily renewing the inward man. Daily renewing the inward man. 2 Corinthians 4:16, we'll read that verse together. And, you know, man, all this eating. Can you imagine this? I mean, we came in, what did we do last night? We ate. Then we got up this morning, we ate. And we're going to get in a minute, we're going to eat. Yeah. I'll tell you, imagine these boys, they went to the teacher who said to her class, said, I want to do a show and tell. Said, I want you to bring me something about your religion. And say something about it and show the class. And that'd be interesting. Three boys volunteered to do it. First little boy got up and he said, hello, my name is Abraham and I'm Jewish and this is a Star of David. He held it up. Second little boy got up and he said, well, my name is Joseph and I'm a Catholic and this is a crucifix. And he held that up. Third little boy got up and he said, hi, y'all, my name is John. I'm a Baptist and this here is a casserole. You know, we're just going to eat ourselves right into the grave, aren't we? It's been good. 2 Corinthians 4:16, stand together, please. We'll read this passage of Scripture together. It's one verse, actually. And 2 Corinthians 4:16, if you would, please, let's read it aloud together. If you have your Bible open there. And again, if you don't have your Bible with you, just listen carefully. I think you'll get it. And it'll sink in. Can I just tell you something about this understanding of the King James Version? I like what you said. You said it. Did you say it? You said it. Couldn't understand the King James. Let me tell you something. People that don't understand the King James Version just haven't spent any time with it. You know that mechanic? He didn't understand that mechanic book. His daughter could pick up that mechanic book and it talks about this part. And it's got this name to it. And she says, well, I don't know what that is. It says, yeah, but you put it in the console. So what's a console? You know, I mean, what? And she's like dumb as a concrete block. But see, her dad had gone and he had read that book and he had researched it and he had asked people, what's that mean? And he had looked up words in the dictionary and he had found it. And he became an ace mechanic, an expert mechanic. And he knew exactly what all that terminology was. Well, people that have spent some time with the King James Bible and looked up a few things and read it, first time I came across that word, I didn't know what it meant, so I'm going to get me a new version. That's ridiculous. How about look it up and find out what it means? Because typically, words that are like that they end up supplying a more understandable modern word substitute, doesn't carry near the weight, near the meaning. And because the Bible is a living book. Amen. And I might be facing one problem and you might be facing an opportunity and somebody else is facing an illness. And we all pick up the Bible and we read the same passage and all the Holy Spirit applies it to our life and does something for us that nobody else in the world could understand. And it does something completely different for him and for him because it's a living book. And so I love the King James Version, and we're just going to go with it. Amen. All right. Well, let's read that verse. You're there? Ready? Here we go. 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 16. Ready? Begin. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Let's read it again. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The outward man's perishing. The inward man is renewed day by day. Now, can I just tell you, the outward man is perishing. I can't jump as high as I used to. I can't run as fast as I used to. I can't see as good as I used to. I can't hear as well as I used to. But I don't have as many teeth as I used to. There's a lot of things that are just perishing. Almost 10 years now, I had a 5 bypass open heart surgery. I don't have the health I used to have. I used to be an all-star Olympic runner. Just kidding. Just kidding. But you know, I feel pretty good. I'm in pretty good shape for the condition I'm in. But the truth is, you old timers in here, you know what I'm talking about. The outward man is perishing day by day. But the inward man is renewed day by day. In Psalm number 90, I'm going to let you be seated in just a second. But in Psalm number 90, verse 12, the Bible says, so teach us to number our days. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Now you think about that. What's he saying? He's saying this. He's saying, make every day count. Teach us to number our days. Make every day count. And I like that verse. I think I like the little things the Bible says. Like the Bible says, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Somebody says, God knows exactly how many hairs you have. Yeah, but he also knows what that hair is what the number of that hair is too. And, you know, it's amazing. Amen. This amazing book. We serve an amazing God. And we need to ask God to help our lives. It's amazing. It's a wonder that we survive on this planet. But we need to ask God to make our lives a little bit more amazing than they are. Because we serve an amazing God. There ought to be something exciting about us. We ought to be excited. And it ought to be contagious. And we just need to ask God to do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. I pray you'd show us how we can renew that inward man day by day. Father, give us an uplifting spirit. Lord, help folks that we come in contact with to know that there's something in our lives that they need, especially those who are lost. And Lord, even Christians who get so negative and so under the circumstances. And Lord, many church members, our fellow church members and some who are pastors here, part of their flock, some of the people just get so discouraged and so down and so negative. Lord, give us something that is contagious that will help lift the spirits of those around us. And Father, we give you the praise. And I pray that you'd help us to have a life that is consistent, and that new man can be, that inward man can be renewed day by day. And Father, we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, that renewal process is something we have to be involved in. You know, if you own a home or a car or whatever you own, you know everything in this whole world has a tendency to deteriorate, and you've got to renew it on a constant basis. You've got to put a fresh coat of paint on or tighten up the bolts or put in a few new screws or replace a shingle or two or something like that. Everything, even though it's, I've got to be a brand new car now. I won't have to worry about it anymore. Well, not for like, you know, a few hundred miles. And then you have a blowout, you hit a curb, or somebody keys your paint job, or a rock hits your windshield going down the highway behind a truck, or some kind of thing. And life is just full of things that need to be renewed, and you and I are some of those things that need to have that daily renewal. Amen. And so that's why we need to have that checkup. That's why we need to be checking up on ourselves on a daily basis. And I want to just give you seven things here, and I'll try to go quickly. Seven things that we need to daily be renewing in our lives. Number one, there's a daily cross to bear. Number one, a daily cross to bear. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Take up his cross daily. Now, can I just tell you that a burden and a cross are two different things? I've heard people say, well, I just can't believe it. You know, I've got this arthritis. I guess that's just my cross to bear. We had this tragedy in our family, but that's just our cross to bear. We just gotta learn to live with it. No, those aren't crosses. That is not a cross. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not being unkind to people who have to go through tough times, and we all go through tough times. That's life, isn't it? Life happens. It happens. Those are burdens. Jesus is our burden bearer. That's why we need to yoke up with him. But those are burdens, and everybody has burdens, and we need to deal with them. We need to trust God through them. That's not a cross. He said, if any man, look, you did that burden you have, you didn't decide one day, you know, I think I need to suffer a little bit. I'm going to go get me a burden. and I'm going to take it up. No, no, no. A cross is something you take up. And a cross, listen carefully, a cross is an instrument of death. Do you get that? It'd be like, you know, the ladies, instead of wearing earrings in their ears, they'd wear maybe electric chairs, you know, in today's society, or something like that. Or put a little firing squad up there. Whatever, I don't know what it'd be. But little bottles of gas, whatever they, you know, how they gas them, kill them, whatever. I don't know. But the cross was an instrument of execution. Hey, listen to me, fellows. God said, if we're going to be the successful Christian we ought to be, we've got to learn to daily take up our cross and follow Him. And what is the cross? The cross is an instrument of death.
Amen.
The cross is where our Savior sacrificed Himself for your sins and mine. I mean, think about this thing. And Jesus said, I want you to take up your cross daily, every day, take up your cross and follow me. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. That's why he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So there's this thing of dying daily. And starting the day by saying, Dear Lord, help me not to live for me today. Help me to die to self and live for you. Help me to be yielded to your control. So that's number one, a daily cross to bear. Think about it, fellas. Think about it. Not, I'm going to get up today. I'm going to live for me. What does my old flesh want to do today? My old flesh wants to do a lot of things today, but I'm going to put the brakes on right here, and I'm going to say, flesh, we're not doing anything without the permission of Almighty God.
Amen.
If we can't, if there's anything in this book that says it's a violation, it's off bounds. It's out of reach. We're not going to do it. Number two, we need daily reading of the Word. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, these were more noble than those at Thessalonica. Talking about the Berean Christians. Remember them? Berean Christians. He said they were more noble than the people at Thessalonica. Paul had preached at Berea. Now he's down at Thessalonica preaching. And he said, boy, he said, you guys are good. You're great. I love you. I'm proud of you. I'm thankful for you. Glad you come hear me preach. There's a church over there in Berea. Those people were more noble than you. You know why? Because they came with an open heart, with an open mind, well, open to the Scripture. And then they, every day, they went home and daily searched the Scripture to see if those things were so.
Amen.
Think of that. Here's what it says. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Listen, it didn't say that they sat there and critiqued the preacher and sort of said, well, I don't know about that. He's giving his opinion. It didn't say, no, they received it with all readiness of mind. That's what it says. They received it. When you go to church, you ought to go there expecting to receive something from God. Go there with that spirit of expectation. And they expected it. So they received the Word of God. They said, man, that's good. Boy, that's great. I can't wait. I want God to do that in my life. Man, they hit the altar and said, God, that sounds so real. Lord, help me to get involved in that. And then they went home and they said, okay, the preacher said that. Here's the reference he gave. I'm going to look that up. I'm going to read it over. I'm going to make it my own. I want to verify it for myself. I want to say I believe it because I read it in the book, because I prayed over it and God confirmed it in my heart, not just because the preacher said it, because preachers sometimes say weird stuff. I preached stuff sometime and I got home, looked in the mirror and said, you idiot, I can't believe you said that. Yeah, have any of you guys ever done that? You ever said something? You said, I can't, man, I got, well, I said that exactly backwards. Or you go, it's even worse. Your wife says, you idiot, I can't believe you said that. You shouldn't have said it like that. You know, you don't believe that. You know, you don't ever do that. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Daily reading the Word of God. Get in the book. Number three, daily prayer to the Lord. That daily time of prayer. Before you roll out of bed in the morning, before you go to sleep at night, and even throughout the day. But having a daily time of prayer, being consistent in prayer, And look, you wouldn't go through the day without eating, at least not on purpose. You say, man, I got to get something to eat. I had anything to eat today. I got to get. Well, why is it that we don't have that attitude with prayer? I remember when I went to work for IBM down in Nashville, Tennessee, and I moved down there, living in a one-room apartment by myself, and had a bath in the path, you know, that kind of thing. And I was working that job. It was a great job, and I loved it. And when the Lord called me to preach, that was one of the things I hated to leave IBM. But that's just part of the deal. But anyway, I remember getting there. I remember I'd go to bed at night. I'd lay there in bed, and I'd stop. And my mama, what a godly lady she was. And every night, I got on my knees by my bed and prayed, said my prayers with mama when I was growing up. And as a young man, nobody there to make me do it. Somehow, I couldn't get comfortable enough to go to sleep until I stopped and got on my knees and prayed and said my prayers. I mean, it was little kid prayers even. Now lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. God bless mama and dad and brother and all and all. You know, even if it's just a rote, I mean, do something. Have your prayer list and daily, have a daily time of prayer. Let me ask you something. If God answered, listen to this. If God answered the prayers that you prayed this week, would there be more people ready for heaven, or would you just have more things? How are we doing in our prayer life? Are our prayers for me, or are they for the glory of God? Listen, if God answered your prayers, would you just have more things, or would there be more people born into the kingdom of God? Think about it. Think about it. That thing of praying. Number four, daily praising the Lord. Having that praise on your lip. Psalm number 61. Oh, I didn't do the daily prayer thing. Listen to what he said in Psalm 86, 1 through 3. He said, bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Wow, isn't that a powerful one? Psalm 86, verses 1 through 3. So a daily cross to bear, daily reading the Word of God, daily prayer to the Lord. Hey, how's your checklist doing? Are you jotting these things down? You're going to make sure these things are consistently, regularly in your life to help you be that growing Christian that God wants you to be? You take your vitamin C every day, or your vitamin pill, or your acid reflux, or your blood pressure. You make sure you take care of number one. How about keeping that heart right with God? We heard about that the other night, didn't we? That I think a lot of us have more heart problem than the physical heart. But daily praising the Lord's number four. So I will sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Hey, we ought to be singing praise. We ought to be giving God praise. I mean, even verbal praise. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying, well, praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. Well, God's good. God's good, isn't he? And just learn, but get in the habit of giving God glory and giving God praise. In every situation in life, you say, well, those people wouldn't know what I was talking about. Yeah, but it would raise a question in their mind then, wouldn't it? You know, what's this guy tell you? He's praising the Lord. He must be some kind of religious nut. Yeah, well, you screwed to the right bolt, so just keep on going on, doing right, saying it, lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ and being what God wants you to be. Daily praising the Lord. Now, we praise the Lord. And if all of a sudden you heard that your rich aunt that you didn't even know existed passed away and left you $1 million, you'd be praising God all over the place, wouldn't you? Boy, money talks, doesn't it? Mine does. It says goodbye. it's talking all the time. Hey, his little boy was sitting there. He had a rich grandpa, and his rich grandpa was coming to see him. And man, he was looking out the window. He was up on the couch with the Venetian blind spread open. He was looking out, watching. All of a sudden, he saw that big, long black limousine pull up out in front of the house. Man, he jumped down off that couch by the time Grandpa got to the front door, he was down around there until the door itself. When the door opened up and Grandpa opened the screen door, he grabbed hold of his pant legs. He was jumping up and down. He said, "Grandpa, Grandpa, can you make a noise like a frog?" Grandpa said, "Well, I guess I could, but why do you ask?" He said, "Because Daddy said when you croak, we're going to Disneyland." That's all. Boy, we think money just is the whole motivating factor of everything. And there needs to be some commitment in our lives in this matter. For example, lay people of giving their tithes and offerings and doing it without any regret, doing it and counting it a privilege and an honor to do it, and trusting that God's going to supply my need and get me through to the next payday. And I'm just going to do what God tells me to do in those matters, and I'm going to give Him praise and glory for it. It's part of the way we praise and show thanksgiving to God and honor Him with our lives. Number five, daily exhortation of one another.
Amen.
Daily exhortation of one another. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So it's daily exhorting one another. What is that? What are we talking about exhorting? We're talking about random acts of kindness. We're talking about positive acts of encouragement. We're talking about being a blessing, lifting folks up, not pushing them down, not being critical, but trying to find a way to be a blessing and to be a help. We're so many Christians, we're just dead. Christians are just dead anymore. You go to church, well, it's sometimes getting a shout out of somebody. I mean, you'd have to hit them with a hypodermic needle or something. You get a shout out of them. People are preoccupied with everything else in the world, and they don't have what it takes. I heard about this one church. Churches are a lot of them are just dead. My church. I've got this church and it's growing. It's doing well. And it's, you know, I mentioned the other day, it's gone from like 13, 14 to 80 something in the last year and a half. And I'm hoping and praying we get over 100 this next Sunday. I hope we set a new high attendance record for the church in the history of the church. That'd be a wonderful thing. And I'm excited about that. I'm looking forward to it. And if it happens, you'll hear about it because I'm a braggart. But the truth is, most churches are dead. My church, man, I have a hard time getting a holy grunt out of them sometimes. They just sit there and you say something that you think, man, that'll get them. And they're like, you know, and you give the altar call and the same two people come and pray and go back to their seat. You know, that kind of thing. What do you do? Church is dead. One day this church, and this one guy died in the service. He died. And he said the ushers help him out. They carried out five men before they got the right one. Talking about a dead church. Fellas, let's wake up. Let's be alive. Let's be excited. Let's be exhorting one another. Let's be encouraging one another. Let's be doing what God wants us to do. Think about those random acts of kindness. Think about being a blessing. Think about God using you. Be sensitive. Don't come to church just to say, "Well, I wonder if it's going to do anything." By the way, people are choosing church. Have you ever noticed? We're living in a time, fellas. I don't know if you guys are sensitive, but in our whole region of the country, down there where I am, every church I know of, I talk to pastors and they say, "How's it going?" "Oh, we've got these five families that have been visiting for 2 years. People aren't joining." Anybody else besides me having that kind of thing? You know, they're coming, they're looking, they're shopping, they're church shopping. And you know what they're looking for? They're coming to say, what does this church have to offer me? Not what could I do for God. Fellas, come on now, get real. Get real. You men that are laymen in your church, get real. Quit looking around and being critical because, well, you know, I stumped my toe the other day and nobody came by and laid hands on me and prayed for healing. You know, or nobody cares. No, how about you care? How about you turning that around and say, you know what? I'm decided every week I'm going to be sensitive to the needs of others around me. I'm going to try to be an encouragement, try to be a blessing, try to be a help. You'll be so busy, you won't have time to feel sorry for yourself and play your little violin, my heart breaks for you, you know, that kind of thing. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Number five, daily exhortation of one another. Number six, daily nourishing your spouse. Hello? How many of you are married in here? I didn't say happily. I just said married. Ephesians 5, 28 and 29. Doesn't actually have the word daily in here, but it also says this. So ought men to love their wives as Christ, even as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. You know what that word nourisheth means? It means rearing it up to maturity. That means that the man is supposed to lead the wife to spiritual maturity. You know what that means? That means you're going to have to be, if you're going to lead, you've got to be in front. That means you've got to be a growing Christian yourself. That means you need to be in church when the doors are open, hearing the word of God. My Bible says in Romans 10, 13, for whosoever shall call the name of the Lord shall be saved. Go down about four verses, Romans 10, 17, 13, 14, 15, 16, yeah. Four verses, and it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You say, well, I just wish I had more faith. Well, sit under the preaching and teaching of God's word. God will boost your faith. He'll grow your faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So daily nourishing your spouse, that means you've got to rear her up in maturity. And I watched the men today out there with some of these boys, and I loved watching the kids shoot. I say these kids, they're going around there and they're carrying those guns, and I'm watching them make sure they don't have the gun on their finger on the trigger, and make sure, you know, they're not swinging it around, pointing it at everybody, and all this kind of thing. But I watched them out here, and the kids, they go up and the fellas say, he'd say, you know, what you need to do is you need to do this, do that, and they were given instruction. How were they able to do that? Because they were a little bit further along. You know what? You're not going to be able to lead your wife unless you get further along than she is. That's why you need to have that daily time in the Word of God. That's why you need to have that daily prayer life. That's why you need to have that daily praising the Lord and daily encouraging others, and on we could go. And daily taking up your cross, being willing to die to self, and she needs to see that in you. You want her to have respect for you as the leader of the home. I'm the man of God in this home. I'm the head of this home. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Well, then be that man of God, for heaven's sake. And man up. And stand up for Jesus and be what you ought to be. I didn't say be the dictator in the home. Be the nourisher, the one that is able to help her and encourage her and bring her along. Men are more practical than women typically, and women are more emotional than men typically. And we need to sometimes just help bring them along without making them feel like an idiot. I can't get this thing to, well, honey, all you have to do is this and this and that. Don't talk down to her. Amen. Make her feel stupid. That kind of thing. Say, well, let's look at this thing and maybe we can figure it out. And be a blessing. Be a help. Be an encouragement. Nourishing and cherishing. That cherishing means keep her warm. Keep her warm-hearted. I think it's talking a little bit like being romantic towards your wife. When's the last time you did something romantic for your wife? He said, the preacher told, well, you just need to tell your wife you love her. He said, well, I told her I loved her when we got married. If I ever change my mind, I'll let her know. Come on, man. It's got to be more than that. You know, at least daily, at least every day she ought to hear those words. Amen. And probably many times a day. Yeah, maybe you ought to take home a flower or something. Even if you have to pick it on the roadside on the way home. There's a lot of people growing pretty flowers somewhere. Just go in their yard and get one. It takes leadership to do that. You want to be the leader in your home, then you've got to get into the position to lead. Don't let her be a better Bible student than you. Don't let her be more faithful to church than you are, or at least have a bigger desire to be in church than you have. You set the pace and set the tone. By the way, you do that and you begin to share that with other men, you'd be amazed how many families you could help connect and see them grow and make a difference. But that tender love and that being in that place of leadership. Number seven, I got to get this finished. Here we are, last one. Last one. Number one, cross to bear. Number two, reading the word. Number three, prayer to the Lord. Number four, praising the Lord. Number five, exhorting one another. Number six, nourishing your spouse. All those things on a daily basis will result in number seven and help you if you have this as a goal in your life. It results in daily accomplishing Christ's ultimate purpose of reaching the lost. Because the lost are as lost as a ball in high weeds. They don't know what they want. All they know is they're grabbing at everything. The world says you only get one of them once, so get all the gusto you can. And they think they're trying to find what's that thing that's going to fill that vacuum in their life. And you and I both know that the only thing that's going to make a difference in their life is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we got to introduce them to Him. And when they see us fulfilled and happy and serving the Lord and rejoicing in the Lord and encouraging others and being sacrificial and having a happy family and having the praise of the Lord on our lips, they look at that and they say, "Man, I don't know what you have, but I'd like to have a dose of it." Amen. And you say, "I'll give you the whole bottle. Let's just sit down right here and let me show you from the Bible how you can be saved." So we're talking about winning people to Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and 47, talking about daily. "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." Must have been Baptist. Here they are every day. Just me. I had to throw that in there. "And it was singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Oh my goodness. You say, "Preacher, look at this. Acts chapter 2, verse 46, second word, and they." It was a joint effort. They were together. You know what you need to do? You say, "Well, I'm just not a soul winner. I just don't know about it." Look, how do you do it? Hang around with soul winners. It's a group activity. That's not just the mystery, but that's also the genius of the local New Testament church. When we do it right, we produce soul winners. Amen. These people, they go out there and they buy these fertilized eggs. They take them home, put them in an incubator, and then they put them out there and they hatch. They put them out there, and those chickens, they hang around together, and before you know it, there's a bunch of more eggs over there, and there are hens sitting on them, and then they hatch, and it just keeps working like that. My goodness, what's wrong with Christians? Somebody hatched you, and you ain't hatched nobody. You ain't sitting on no eggs. You're not hanging around with the right crowd. You're not involved in the right with it. Look, you got to have the right purpose. If you're going to be a soul winner, if somehow daily you're going to be a witness for Jesus Christ that's going to ultimately result in you seeing some people come to Christ, then you're going to have that as a purpose. Amen. You have to have a goal of being a soul winner. You're going to have to say, "God, why should I do all those things? I'd rather just sort of lean back and whatever. Que sera, sera. Whatever happens, happens. And, well, go join a Calvinist church then, because you don't have any choice in it and you don't know what's happening anyway." But if it's the real deal, if you are the real deal and you really want God to use you, then you need to hang around with some soul winners. And you need to ask questions. You need to learn from them. You need to say, "Hey, could I go with you sometime?" You say, "Well, that wouldn't do it." It's like the guy that entered his mule in the Kentucky Derby. "Yeah, so that mule doesn't have a chance to win." He said, "Yeah, I know he can't win, but the fellowship's really good for him." While you're getting ready to win, you could be having some great fellowship with some great people, and show up. So show up on soul winning meetings. Preacher will be stunned if he has three or four people show up not there, and he's trying to figure out, "Who am I going to send them with? How are we going to?" But put him under pressure. That's okay. He can take it. He'd rather have that pressure than the pressure of showing up for soul winning by himself. And the same little group of people that are there week after week out of responsibility, but they've lost their fire because they've been doing this for so long. It's just something you got to do. Where's that zeal? Where's that having that purpose? Realizing God left me here with a purpose. So that's the goal. And then have a plan. What are you going to do? I have a plan where I'm going to go. I'm going to keep records. I'm going to find people that are prospects. I'm going to go back and see them again and again until they tell me not to come back anymore. I'm going to try to win people. I've got a circle of influence. I've got to figure out what it is. I'm talking about my relatives, my family. I'm talking about my neighbors. I'm talking about my co-workers, I'm talking about my friends, I'm talking about the people that serve me, my doctor, my postman, the garbage collector, the attorney that helped me close on something or save me some money. All these people, they serve me, but now I feel like, well, you know, they're professional people, I can't talk to them. Yes, you can. Amen. You can, and they are just as desperate as you were before you knew Christ. They're not going to admit it. They've got this glass house they're living in, but they need the Lord. We just got to have the courage, the boldness. So have a purpose, a goal, have a plan, and then have a partner, the accountability, somebody that you're going with, somebody that you're going to meet every week, and you're going to go out together, and you have that daily goal of accomplishing these other things so that you are spiritually fit and have the power of God on your life, and then you go out to share it with somebody else, and God will use you. You can be a soul winner. You can be a blessing. You can create an atmosphere that is contagious in your church to help turn your city upside down for God. You have a circle of influence. And you've got to decide, is it going to be a negative influence or a positive influence? You have an opportunity to say, I'm not going to live for me today. I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. Let God use you. Daily, daily, serving the Lord. Just make it part of your life. Let's bow our heads together, please. Our heads are bowed. Christ is right here with us. Who'd say, preacher, I'm not really daily. There are some of those things that I know are missing in my life, one or two, maybe several, I don't know, or maybe just one. You say, preacher, there's some things there that I really need God's help. I want to do right. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Be honest about it. Come on, slip it up there. Preacher, there's some things there that aren't right. I want you to invite you. Won't you just come right up here today? Just humble yourself for a moment right here at this altar, and let's pray. I want to lead us in prayer. I don't know what it is. You don't have to tell me. But let's just pray. Just ask God, help us with it, Lord. Help us with it. You don't have to, don't pretend. Are you dying daily? Are you daily loving that woman God put in your life? Are you daily being a blessing to others? Are you praising the Lord? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these men, for these boys. Lord, several boys coming today to say, I want God to use me. Some of those things aren't in my life. But Lord, I know it's more difficult for a young person. They have so many distractions, so many things they're learning every day. I pray, Father, you to bless them and help them. But Lord, the men that are here, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be here. Certainly, I come to you today, Lord, not speaking as someone who thinks I have arrived. Lord, I know I'm less than the least. The Apostle Paul, who was probably the greatest New Testament Christian, said, I count not myself to have apprehended. And Lord, I know I certainly haven't. But I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Lord, I know I need you every day. And I pray you'd help me in those areas where I need help. And help these men who've come today and who in their hearts right now, maybe some still sitting in their seat, in their hearts right now, they're saying, Lord, this one thing, I have a battle with that. I've told you before I'm going to be consistent in it, and then I drop off. Lord, help them to pick it back up, to keep going forward, to count for you. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.